One of the most precious scriptures in the Bible is where Jesus in Matthew says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul." Now, every last one of us, we've got a soul. And the Bible said man became a living soul. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Now, the soul part is the part that cries out for God, yet that soul can sin. You ever stop to think of that? Your soul part can sin. Now, you never have a problem where you said my soul is wanting to go down that honky-tonk, and they got a little lady down there I'm kind of in love with, and I shouldn't do it, but I want to go down and have a date with her. But my spirit is pulling me back, and he doesn't want me to do it. My conscience wants something else, and my body is wanting something else. No, we have a soul. The devil can tempt that. And he can lead us off into error. It's up to us with our will to decide what we can do. The devil can't make you do nothing. And any time any human being on earth wants to come to God and make a surrender, they can do it. Now, sometimes individuals give themselves over so much to the devil that they're totally controlled and possessed by the devil. This legion out there in the Gadareans, I don't believe there's no way in the world he could have given his heart to God. There's no way. He had passed the end. There was no way he could ever give his heart to God, because he had already been using his little thinker and his little willer the wrong way too much, and had surrendered too much to the wrong source and sold out, and the devil had taken over, and it took God's power to cast the devils out, bring him back to his right mind, and forgive him and give him another start. But unless we have been taken over, the sinners that walk up and down the streets, church members that are not born again, but they're church members going to hell because they haven't been born again, they still have a will. Anytime they'll say, "Wait a minute, I've been fooling around long enough playing church. I'm going to get out before God. I'm going to pray through." And everything in them might go contrary to it. They can say, their conscience, their will can say, "I don't care, I'm going to slam the door, and I'll never walk out of here till I know my soul is wholly dedicated to God." And bud, you can do it. There is no power that can come against you and force you not to do what you want to do if you make up your mind to do it. There was two great powers, one called the devil's power and one God's power. Now, both of them's pretty. One's a lot greater than the other. God's power is greater. But don't underestimate the devil. He's got a lot of power. And he has a lot of influence. And he's pretty up to par. He's pretty catchy when it comes to deceiving. He's got several billion people deceived right now on earth. And the last generation that came in and went out, practically all of them went to hell. You say, "How do you know?" Because we positively know that. A man can't go to hell believing in Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, and believing in nothing. They've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again to go to heaven. We don't guess that. We know that. Jesus said, "I'm not a way." Just forget that. I'm not a way. I am the way. And the only way. And we know the last generation that 9/10 of all the earth believed in heathendom. They didn't either, they believed in nothing, or that everything was God. Confucius, Muhammad, Buddha, all kind of false gods. The devil had them deceived. No wonder when they came to Jesus and Jesus said, take heed. They asked the Lord a bunch of questions. They said, now, Lord, we'd like to know this and that and the other, and when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, and all like that, you know. And do you know the first thing, the very first thing that Jesus said? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, he knew then that the great majority of human beings that he loved, they were the workmanship of his creation. They were his children by creation, but not by redemption. They had been sold out to the devil. He didn't come to die for the righteous and for the sons of God. He came to die for the lost, sinful, alienated souls that were on the road to hell. He said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world, the unregenerate world through him, might be saved. And so Jesus Christ came into the world. He loved human beings. And what I said a moment ago, and say again, he fixed every one of us to where we can make our choice one way or the other. It kind of fears you. You know, you feel awful good to think, well, now, Dad said, I'll take care of all the insurance, take care of all your high school, take care of everything. You don't need to worry about anything. All you have to do is get up and stretch and exercise, play ball, eat, go to sleep, play music, whatever you want to do. You don't have to worry about anything. I've got it all. But, brother, when it hits on you and they'll say, look, lock, stock, and barrel, there's 1,000 things that need to be done, and you're in for it. If you don't do it, it's on you. You've got to do it all. You know what I mean? Then that throws you under a strain. Now, when we came into this world, there were some things that God gave us a responsibility for. And, brother, don't think for one minute, as human beings, we haven't got a tremendous responsibility. I have a tremendous responsibility because I am responsible for my decisions. For my decisions. I am responsible for my will, what I will to do. I can't ever tell God, well, I did that, that was wrong, but, you know, it's not me, Lord, don't hold me responsible. He made me do it. The devil never made nobody do nothing. Now, they may do a lot of things because of the devil and because they're lost. But if you decide not to do a thing, the devil doesn't have that power. And if God decides, I'm not going to let him do that, God has automatically fixed you to where he can't keep you from doing it, and the devil can't keep you, he can't make you do it, or God can't keep you from it. Now, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, now I know God's got a lot of power, but I'm telling you what kind of power God's got and how he has limited his power. Now, a lot of us will say, oh, God can't be limited. He can do anything he wants to do. No, there's some things he said he couldn't do. When it comes to helping man that don't want me to help him, I can't help him. Well, isn't he God? He's God, yeah. But he fixed his power where it can't operate and help without faith. In his own hometown, the Bible said he could not do many things. Now, it never did say that he could have, but they didn't believe him, thought he was an imposter, and that meant he was a bastard. And they didn't accept him. There was a doubt. There was a question mark. Good boy, but he thinks he's son of God. He's lost his marbles. And when he got to his hometown, he got angry with them, and they didn't believe in him, and he wouldn't do nothing. It didn't say that at all. It said he could not. And I believe he meant what he said. Jesus could not. Why? Because their unbelief paralyzed his hands. In the garden, there's two great powers, God's power and the devil's power. There's Adam. There's three men, or there's three individuals, Adam, devil, and God. Now, this one in the middle is called Adam, and God puts in him a will. And he can choose to obey God and do God's will and do right, or he can violate it. He can violate it. But he doesn't have to violate it. The greatest crime that God would have been guilty of, greater than all the sinners put together, God would have been guilty of it had he put Adam in there, and Adam was so arranged and fixed to where when the devil came and tempted him, he could not have overcome the temptation. Adam's not to blame there, if that be the case. God is totally 100% to blame. But God put him in there and he says, now if you touch it, the day you touch it, you'll die. And God knew and the devil knew that untold billions of people would be affected and would go to hell and live in hell throughout eternity in the lake of fire because of one act. Had Adam never touched the tree of life, I mean the tree of knowledge of good and evil, had he never touched it, he would have never died. Sin would not have come upon the human race. But we would have still had fellowship with God. But the devil knew that if he could get Adam to eat of the tree of life and call God's challenge when God said you'll die, death, sin pass upon the human race, and if you commit mutiny, you sell out the kingdom to the devil, the human kingdom is put into bondage and they're in the pawn shop and they're in a, death will pass upon not only you, but the human race. And it says death reigned from Adam to Moses till God instituted blood sacrifices, which was typical of the blood of Christ, which picked up the post-dated checks because his blood taken care of every sin. Now, that was redemption. But now what I'm saying is this. God knew there was a chance he was taking when he put Adam there. And of course, he had also an ace up his sleeve. If man does fall, I'm going to promise a redeemer. Christ. Not different kind of ways, but only one. I'm going to get a redeemer. Nobody on the face of the earth that ever lived has become a redeemer for man but one. Jesus came from heaven to earth, born of a virgin. He is the Redeemer. Now, he redeemed us back for what Adam got us into. But what I'm saying is this. God so made man that when he put him in there, no matter how the devil would try to get him to do this certain thing, which he did. I've seen a lot of folks say that. Well, I know I'll never backslide. You always say, by the grace of God. Because, as I said, he not only deceived him under God's nose. Can you hardly believe that? You know, to just take it face value and to read it, and there it is, that's the way it happened. You say, I just can't hardly believe it. That God would talk to him in the garden and tell him, and then turn around, walk off, leave. I can't understand how that something would sway their will. Now, you've got in your bosom, you take it to sleep, wake it up in the morning, feed it oatmeal of the morning when you get up. You've got in you a soul. And that soul is governed by a will, and your will sends it to hell, or your will sends it to heaven. My will put me on my knees. Nothing but. Everything else is functioning, and the devil was certainly working overtime. But I let my will go into action. And when I did, I stepped out the aisle when everything in me was saying, turn around and go out. You don't need to fool with this stuff. And something in me said, I've tried other things. I'm going to try God, and there is no devil power could change my emotions. My will put me on my knees. My will raised my hand. My will made the final word that put me in God's kingdom. My will made the final decision, and the Holy Ghost, the third person, entered in. My will said yes to God that I'd preach the ministry, and I entered in the ministry. And my will got me to check out of Houston, Texas, and get a box on my arm and carry out to Beaumont. My will put me there. My will put me in my first pulpit. My will let me have my first ministry. And don't say it wasn't. Had it not been my will, it would have gone some other way. We are what we are right now because of our will. Now, your mama's not going to come in and control your will. Mama, what can I do? I'll tell you, your mama can tell you everything, but it's up to you to know what's right and wrong and do that, because your will is what God's going to judge you by. So Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. He didn't say, take heed lest the devil deceive you. God anoints men. He anointed me. And because he anointed me, I have caused many a person to change their mind and make up their will to serve God, and they're going to heaven today. And you'd say, how come you're saved? Well, I heard Brother Hibbert on the radio, and I gave my heart to God. It was at the Gospel Lighthouse Church, and he preached. And while he preached, he controlled my thinker, and I made up my mind, my will. I willed to believe what he said. I willed to go to the altar. I raised my hand. I did what he said. And because of that, I am a Christian. A human being affected her will. You know, the devil can anoint individuals. And many a person today is on their way to hell because they've been listening to the wrong people. They have been in the wrong environment. I don't care what you say, when you find yourself in the wrong environment and it's affecting you anyway in the world, brother, get out of it as quick as you would a den of rattlesnakes. That's right. Why? Because God wants you to keep your will to where? And he wants your conscience. Conscience. You know, a conscience is a wonderful thing. God gives one to everybody. I have one. And now there's a lot of people got them, but they're no good. Wore out. They're seared. Don't function a bit. You know, I'll pick up a clock. It says 2 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's no good. They'll laugh and say, well, it tells the right time twice a day. It gets 10 minutes to 2 in the afternoon. And when it gets 10 minutes to 2, it's right. And then when it gets 10 minutes to 2 in the morning after midnight, it's right again. It's only right twice a day. But that's the only time it's right. Some people's conscience are that way. But God puts a conscience in us, and sometimes we can sear it. If we have a good conscience, had I not had any conscience, I wouldn't have let anybody affect me, so I would begin to make up my will what I was going to do. Now, does the Bible talk a lot about a will? The Bible said, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Everybody, you know, if I had two wills, you know what I'd do? You know what I'd do if I had two wills? I'd go back to God and I'd say, God, I'm a monstrosity. And I want you, for God's sake, to please come to my rescue quick as you can and loose me and set me free from this horrible deformity. I have got two wills. Now, some people accuse Jesus of being a monstrosity and having two wills, but he doesn't. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Sure, God the Father's got a will. It's his own will. Now, his will was to let Jesus do one certain thing. Jesus' will was that in God's viewpoint, there was going to be another way that God would permit him to get the job done without doing it the way that he felt he was going to have to do it, but he sure didn't want to do it that way. So he said, oh God, not my will. My will is this, and I know what my will is. It's not along with yours. But no matter what my will is, thy will. And if there is no way you can line up with my will, then check my will out. Thy will be done. I'm willing to drink the cup and be the cesspool of iniquity and have everybody's sin put on me. And that's what he knew had happened. But he didn't. If there's some way he could redeem them. By that, he said, now, he explained it first by saying, God, Father, I know thy power. He said, I know, I've known you from the beginning. I was ever with you way before the world was. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. That's a long, long time ago. And when he was talking in the garden, he said, Father, I know that thou hast all power. And he said, I know that there is nothing impossible with thee. Now, you say, do you reckon God heard that prayer? Brother, I'm going to tell you, he turned up the volume. That is coming in like a loudspeaker, brother. It is deafening almost. He heard even the breathing sighs of his son as he sweat as great drops of blood. His obedient son had never committed a sin. He had been perfect, had been holy. They lied on him. He told the truth. He slaved from morning till night, laboring for his people. And God never said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. When he cried out over the banisters of heaven, he said like thunder, and they heard him say, this is my beloved son in whom I... He didn't say, well, in whom I'm pleased. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. And when Jesus Christ was talking in the garden, and he was telling God the Father all the power he had, and God knew he had it. And he said, now, Father... And can you imagine the son there? He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. I feel the pressure of hell on me. That's what Jesus said. I feel the pressure of the devil. And he was crying for Peter to awake and pray with him, but he wouldn't pray. He'd go back to sleep. He'd go kick him again. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying to get help. Would you please pray with me? And the Father looks down and everybody is forsaking him. His own disciples are going to sleep and they will not pray with him. He takes Peter, James, and John aside and carries them, lets the others stay back, and brings them a little closer. This is my bosom, friends. These are the ones that I am supposed to depend upon. But they let him down. They go to sleep. And now everybody's failed, and he cries out, God, I know thou canst do all things. Nothing is impossible. Nevertheless, not my will. Suppose he had said, there it is, I become sinner. God made him sin. Who knew no sin? When he made him sin, the sun veiled herself, become black. The earth began to shake. And Jesus screamed out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is he unconscious? No. He's very conscious. Are these the lips of a raging drunk? No, it's the lips of a dying son of God. Why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that he must drink the cup and it would bring death to his soul. He didn't pour out his soul almost to. The Bible said he did not do that. It said he poured out his soul unto death. Spiritual separation. And when that happened, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's facing it. He knows all about what's going to happen. He came to the world that in his body, God would charge every sin of every sinner into the body of his son and deal with that sin in the body of his son. And that was the price Jesus had to pay to redeem us. That's a big price. And let me tell you, when he said, Father, and there he was forsaken, God would have done anything in the world to have granted the desire of that boy and said, son, you've been obedient. You've done everything up to this part. Now all you'll have to do is just go out there and die, and I'll forgive him. But there was no way. Sin had to be dealt with. And if it's not dealt with in the body of his son, and the only way your sins are dealt with in the body of his son is for you to accept his son.
Yes.
But for the billions that don't know about it and do not accept it, then God deals with that sin in their body after they go to hell, and God gives them a body that can't burn up. And throughout eternity, as long as God exists, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever in the lake of fire, because that's what God said. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire that I prepared for the devil and for his angels, and so these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. That's God dealing with the sin that they refused to let him deal with in the body of his son. And when I raised my hand, my will said, Father, forgive me. All my sins had been dealt with in the body of his son, and I was released and justified, and I stood forth in the righteousness of God. Is that true? God made him sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. No wonder they call it so great salvation. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we're fearfully and wonderfully made. How can God make a human being, put him on his feet, and this man can be called fearfully and wonderfully made? Because he has made something that it can turn around to the God that made it and whirls great universes there and says, you can't make me do anything. I don't have to serve you. He can tell the devil, you can't make me do anything. And if I don't will to yield to your temptations, you have no power over me. I can will to serve God, or I can will to serve the devil. God said, I set before you this day. I'm not asking the devil to choose for you, and I'm not saying I'm going to choose for you. I set before you life, that's God, death, that's the devil, and choose you. Not choose your grandma or your uncle, but choose you this day. When you choose, that's your will choosing. You can't choose anything without your will going into effect. Get ready to marry somebody. You're going to engage yourself to her. You walk the floor and you ponder and you think over it. You listen to what your dad said and your mama said and your aunt told you something. Your preacher told you something. You weigh it all up. You examine your heart. You've been going to the girl 6 months and you know how you feel toward her. And you weigh the whole thing up. And you're in a quandary. What's the matter? You are there using your what we call reasoning, your conscience. You are bringing yourself to a decision. And finally, through prayer, considering everything, Mama don't like her, Daddy don't like her, and the preacher don't like her. But I've been with the girl 6 months. I love her, and I know she loves me. And no matter how it's going to affect my standing with my people, and my whether I ever get the car Dad wants me to have, or whether he ever gives me a dime to ever have a piece of property to raise a potato on, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to go and give her a ring, and I'm going to marry her. Finally, the decision's made. What's responsible? His will. That's all. That's all. Had he finally said, well, no. There's other women. It's just too much. I'll forget her. And his will would have gone another way. You where you are in life right now, and your will's put you right there. That's right. And sometimes people say, well, I'm going to quit my wife. I'm not going to live with her. Have you heard him talk that way? But she's a good woman. Hey, she made a mistake, yes, but you made a mistake. I don't care. I'm not going to live with her. And you talk to him no matter how loud you talk. I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to love her. Well, I'll pray, God, but I don't want no love back. And I'm not going to live with her. Brother, their will's made up. When you will to go back, brother, that prodigal son, he was a prodigal son. He was there on that farm, and he was just like the other boys. But his will was, I'm going to go over the hill. I am going to see the rest of the world. I'm going to get what's coming to me. And, brother, I'm going to tell you, he didn't plant a peach tree nowhere. Why? He wasn't planning on staying around and eating them. Just as soon as I get a convenient time, I'm going to get my money, and I'm going to scat. And he wasn't worth a lead nickel on that farm until he took off and left and come back the right way. He was there, but a dead weight. Why? His will had made up its mind. I'm going over the hill, and I'm going to see a good time. And brother, you know you snoot trying to change him. You better get down and pray. If their own conscience don't wake them up, be careful what you let your will do. Your will can send you to hell. You can get bitterness and get a hate in your heart. You can do a thing and say, listen, I think you're a so-and-so, and I believe it, and you'll stay that way. And you get back, and you pray through, and you try to pray through, and God tells you, go back and make it right. But your will certainly won't do it. I know a man that told me one day, I was talking, trying to get him to altar, and he said, I know what's standing your way. You've got to forgive that individual. He said, if I have to go to hell, I'll go to hell. I'll never forgive him. I hate him. Now you say, poor fella, could he have forgiven him? Sure. If he'd have made up his will, if he had will to have forgiven them, said, now God, I hate him. No use lying, but I want to love him. Send the love in my heart. He didn't want love. And you know what? That man died and went to hell. He died and he never changed his mind. It cost him his soul, where he could have willed to have asked God to forgive him and gone to her and said, now, sister, I'm going. And that woman hadn't done one thing the world wrong. He just got mad because the thing that she had the power to do, she did it because it was right and he didn't like it. And he made up his will, I'm going to do a certain thing. You know, when you find out you can just do certain things, you'd be surprised what human beings can do when they make up their mind to do it. You'd be surprised how much better every last one of us could be if we just made up our mind, I don't care if it rips every gear I've got, I'm going to be better than I am. And by the grace of God, you can do it. If you want to pray a little bit more, you can pray a little bit more. It's your will. If you want to dedicate and switch time you spend for other things and spend it in a right thing that'll bring you dividends, it's up to your will to do it, and nobody else's will is going to control it. And you will say, well, I'm just kind of hoping that everything will work out all right. Bosh. If you want it to work out all right, start using your will and start doing it. God cannot force you, and the devil can't do it. Your will is what makes you what you are. The devil don't come along and say, see there, I'm responsible. Everything happened there. God made us, and God can't come along and say, see there, that's my product. I've got my stamp on me, and exactly what I made them. See there, both of them. They didn't have anything to do with it. See, I just made them that way. You can see there, made them what they are. Everybody's like, just like they are, you know. And every person, here I am. God's responsible. See, not me. God, I am what I am because God made them. That's a bunch of bunch. There's no truth to that. What you are, you're responsible for it. That's right. One brother sat back and he believed in that happy doctrine. What's going to be is going to be. And I said, I kind of casually believe a little bit of your doctrine myself. Because I believe you're going to go to hell. And I believe you really undead because I believe it. Because unless you change your believer, you're just the same as in hell. He's sitting at the very back and had a hole. Didn't have no carpet. As a, you know, those old churches they put up with one by four benches, you know, and sit down on them and get pinched and all that. And just had floor, you know, no carpet, and had a knot hole knocked out right there. And that's where he sat. He's brown all around it. He's chewing his tobacco. Spitting in it. Sitting at the back. And I was talking to him one night about coming up. Well, he said, I'm all right. He said, I'm saved. They talking about that Holy Ghost. He said, I don't guess I got that. But he said, preacher. I was a young fellow at that time. He said, son, you know, God's big up there. Now, how could I do anything that God didn't want me to do? If God wants me to do anything, I'm going to do it. And if he doesn't want me to do anything, I'm not going to do it. And he said, what's going to be is going to be. And he said, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, I don't need to go up there and pray and get down to get the Holy Ghost. The Lord can come down here and give me the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to be. I'll tell you what's going to be. You're going to sit back here and chew tobacco and go to hell. That's exactly what's going to happen to you because you have willed not to do what God said. You will to sit back here and spit through that hole and go to hell. And that's where you're going. I turned around and left him. Now, I don't know where he finally wound up. I hope maybe that he got his will in operation. But the last I heard, he was sitting back there spitting through that hole going to hell. Now, you've got something that's awful powerful. God could not stop Adam from doing it, and the devil could not make him do it. He used his will and made up his mind and did what he wanted. And wherever you are on life's road, you're there because your will puts you right there. I'm praying and hoping that through God's grace, my will is going to put me into heaven. Been a few times, God said, go over and tell them you love them. And I'm not supposed to lie either. If I hadn't loved them, go over and tell them I love you. God said, all right, go back and tell them you lied. Get down and pray through and love them. But I've had to obey God. And every time I've had to obey God wasn't exactly 100% J.C. Hibbard's will. But I said, not my will, but thine be done. But I found out the sweetest fellowship on all the face of the earth is to let him know, Heavenly Father, I want to let you know one thing. I don't want to cross your will up. Being filled with all the knowledge of his will. And then I said, God, can you help me out in this since my will is going to send me to heaven or hell? Can you help me out? He said, yep. There's the chapter and verse for you. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. How can you do his good pleasure until you will to do his good pleasure? There's a lot of people, they don't will to do his good pleasure, and they don't do his good pleasure. Why? Because they don't will to do his good pleasure. But it's God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasure. Hallelujah. I don't know what you'd call this sermon this morning. Let's call it your will. Whew. You're somebody. You're capable of doing a lot of things. You're capable of changing your mind. You're capable of using your will today for the glory of God. Decision. You've got to make it up one way or the other. Whichever it is, your will has gone into effect. Now, that will don't work always. When you draw your last breath and you... then your earthly will is over. But until you draw your last breath, God's put a will in you. And unless you're like that fella out there, Legion, and he's totally given over to the devil, he couldn't control his will. He'd lost control. Brother, he's out from under the steering wheel. I'm afraid there's a lot of people getting that place today. Their past feeling. Know what I mean? But oh, thank God for a conscience. Thank God for a conscience. Always say, God, what's your will in this thing? The secret of every service when you go into it. I have never, as far as I know, I've never gone into the pulpit without thoroughly praying in, and what I thought praying through, oh God, not my will, thy will be wrought. Because God has a will in every service. And there's a lot of them that he doesn't have his will at all. His will's not had at all. If he'd had his will, things would have changed and turned out a whole lot different. The preaching wasn't what I wanted. The response of the audience wasn't what I wanted it. And the climax of the message wasn't what I wanted it. And the results after the preaching was over is not what I wanted. So my will was checked out. My will wasn't had. But I pray earnestly, oh God, thy will. And when we come to church, how many believe we should come with one desire? Oh God, let me do thy will. Let me do thy will in this service. Yeah. How many, you will to have a revival when our brother comes this coming Sunday? We will to have, you say, well now, so many crowd come. Well, that's good. But the main thing is will, that God's going to work on the ones that come. And there's some out there that God knows that ought to be here, and God can bring them in. How many would like to see the kind of revival that he wants to have? I want you to put your hand up right now. Would you put your hand up? And let's begin to pray. Father, our will goes into operation. Now we pray that you'd have your way. You said, he that wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Now, God, we pray for the preacher. We pray for our brother that you'll anoint him with the Holy Ghost to bring the messages and to sing under the anointing and to conduct the service and to give us a great spiritual awakening. We thank you, God, for hearing prayer. Right now, we thank you, God, for hearing prayer in Jesus' name. Now, we prayed, we preached over something that we're going to do something about. There's been times that I've had to say, God, I've used my will was wrong. I used my will the wrong way. Have you ever seen folk do that, you know? They made a move and it was the wrong one. God don't always cast you off like that. It's the good or acceptable, perfect will of God. A lot of times you come back saying, now, God, I failed. Peter failed. David failed. And many others. But they came back, and there's such a thing as asking God, Lord, forgive me for anything I've done. If I have willed, and my will was the wrong will, it was not your will. Search my heart. Forgive. And above all, Lord, if there's anything that in my conscience that's not functioning like it ought to, control my mind and let it be spiritually minded. We need a good conscience, a spiritual mind, and a will that we have control of. If your conscience has gone kaflooey, and your carnal mind, your will, I'm going to tell you right now, your will is not going to will right. You're not going to be able to use your will sensibly. Why? Because your bad conscience and your bad mind is affecting your will. Do you know that your will is affected by things? Sure it is. Ever see a person that had will to do a certain thing? You know what a will is when you go down to test a will or you go down and make a will? And you know what it is? You know what a will is? Well, I'll tell you what, it's your will. That means when I die and my kids get a certain amount, that's what I wanted. But when my will is thrown out and the lawyers come in and they tear it up and they separate it and the lawyers get so much and they don't get, then I haven't had my will. That's not my will. Shake my head, oh no, that's not my will. I made my will and it wasn't carried out. Now that's what a will is supposed to be. Something that you make while you're in your good mind and it's carried out.
Right.
I've seen people that make a will that's going to do a thing. You're going to have someone talk to them. Like I'm talking to you this morning. And then something comes to you and says, well, you made up your will. It's wrong. Now change it. And I've come back to him again and said, Brother Hibbert, you know, last time you talked, you said, no, I made up my mind. They call it making up their mind. But then they'll come and say, Brother Hibbert, I've changed my mind. What do you mean? I willed. You can't change your mind until you will to change your mind.
That's right.
Whoever said, I've changed my mind, but my will is still to do this. Well, whatever your will is, that's what you're going to do, no matter how much you make up your mind. But when you change your mind, you make up your, and you will to do something else, it's because we have been affected. We have been affected by what we've heard, or what we have seen, or what we have felt from God. You know what I mean? Sometime a dream changes your will. Sometime a prayer meeting changes your will. Get up. Person came right after they got through praying, pulled a gun out of the pocket, said, take this gun and keep it. I don't want it. Made up my mind that tonight after this church is over, I was going to kill a certain person. But God got a hold of me. Now what happened? They had willed to kill somebody. But something affected their will, changed it. Aren't you glad that your will can be changed? I want us all to stand together. And I'm going to ask us to do, now it may not be just, or it may be in a way that you want God to help you. If you pray for the sick and you're preaching on sick, now that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray for the sick too. But if there's anyone here this morning that wants to be sure to get God's will in a certain thing, I want them to come up. We're going to pray, and that's asking God, inviting God to help you to make up your mind and to let your will be made right. Whatever God wants you to do. All right? We're going to anoint. I'd like to have Brother Duke come. Brother, and you here, anoint with oil. And you, brethren, can come. And I want the different ones. We're going to look to the Lord and ask God, whatever you have need of now, God knows what you're having need of now, doesn't he?